It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
It's Saturday the 23rd of March. I'm Kira Revins, and this was a week that saw the Tory party battling over racism and Rwanda, pressure increasing on Israel to call a ceasefire in Gaza, Putin becomes Russian president again, and Dara O'Brien turning detective to solve a football mystery.
Grab a cup of something hot, put up your feet, and get up to speed on the seven biggest stories of the week. This is the Standout 7 from the Smart 7.
It's news,
but not the news.
This week saw the row about racism in politics continue with new questions raised around Tory mega donor Frank Hester's relationship with Rishi Sunak after The Guardian reported the PM was flown to Leeds for a private tour of Frank's business last November. That report followed a week of backlash for the Tories after an earlier Guardian report alleged Frank had made racist and misogynistic comments about former Labour MP Diane Abbott. Rishi came under fire for taking a full 24 hours to condemn the comments, but on Sunday, Transport Secretary Mark Harper said the delay was down to fact-checking.
So the newspaper reports things, you do want to go and check the facts are correct, and then I think the Prime Minister was very clear about it, that they were racist comments, and they were unacceptable and wrong, and he made that very clear, both his spokesman made it very clear, and he himself made it very clear in the House of Commons on Wednesday. I was there, I heard him, he was very robust and clear about it.
Diane Abbott was herself suspended from the Labour Party last April after making racially insensitive comments in an open letter published in The Guardian. On Sunday, Labour politician Baroness Amos says it was time for Diane's suspension to be reviewed.
Yes, I would like to see Diane come back, but I do think that given that there's a process, it's got to conclude, and then we've got to get the next steps.
Monday saw the Tory party attempting to close down the ongoing scandal over mega donor Frank Hester and his remarks about former Labour MP Diane Abbott. The PM did describe the remarks as racist and wrong, but in the wake of the Islamophobia row, the delay in his criticism of the remarks and the fact that the party has not returned the £10 million donation, there was an ongoing media storm. Business Secretary Kemi Badenoch was sent out on Monday to calm things down, and she described the whole affair and the outrage it caused as outsized and called for people to move on.
Whether someone said this or that last week on Tuesday, we've been talking about this since the weekend before, every single day, I do think that the relentless focus on it is trivial.
This week saw the game of legal ping pong between the House of Commons and the House of Lords continue as the government attempted to pass the Safety of Rwanda Bill. On Monday, all 10 amendments proposed to the bill by the Lords were rejected by the Commons, as the former Chief Inspector of Borders and Immigration, David Neil, warned that the government still hasn't published his report on conditions for asylum seekers in the East African country. The PM, though, was still doggedly making his case for the bill to become law and hoping that flights can still leave in the spring.
Our plan is working, but in order to finish the job, we need the Rwanda scheme through. We're getting it through Parliament. Everyone is trying to block us, including the Labour Party, because they don't have a plan to tackle this problem. We do. I'm determined to see it through, get the deterrent up and running as quickly as possible.
Wednesday saw the Safety of Rwanda Bill headed back to the House of Lords. Labour peer Lord Falconer said that the House of Lords needs to act together if they want to shut the Rwanda scheme down.
I think we've got to rally all our troops to try to defeat it. I suspect we may well defeat many of these ponged back amendments from the Commons, but then how long will it go on for?
But former Justice Secretary Robert Buckland said that he was satisfied that Rwanda is a safe country for asylum seekers, and he's keen to see the bill passed.
The Lords would probably be best advised not to push the matter too aggressively, because this is an elected government. It needs to get on with its plan. I've always supported the principle of using and working with other countries to support the challenge of illegal migration. We've just got to get the detail right.
But it wasn't to be for the government, to despite stern warnings from ministers that proposed amendments could do significant damage to the core purpose of the bill. The Lords inflicted seven more defeats. The government's case wasn't helped by research this week from the Institute for Public Policy that estimated the scheme could cost almost $4 billion over the next 5 years. The National Audit Office estimates that if 300 people were deported, the cost per person could be £1.8 million. And former Lib Dem peer Lord Carlisle had some better ideas on how to spend the money.
I haven't looked on the Ritz Paris website for some time, but my recollection is that one could keep somebody in that hotel for 3 years at the cost that this process is going to cost the country.
By the end of the week, despite constant urging from the Prime Minister and senior ministers, including Home Secretary James Cleverly, the bill had finally been delayed until at least after Easter. Labour Shadow Leader of the House of Commons, Lucy Powell, pointed the finger at her opposite number, Penny Mordaunt, for the latest delay.
The truth is, if they were ready to implement this scheme, we would see the bill back here next week. This is their timetable, it's their delay, no one else's.
Wednesday of this week saw over 500 migrants arrive across the channel on small boats, and Labour's Shadow Home Secretary Yvette Cooper sounded like she's run out of patience.
More people arrived on small boats yesterday than the government is planning to send to Rwanda in the next 12 months. And that just shows the gimmick that is the Rwanda policy that involves them sending £500 million to Rwanda for just 300 people.
This week saw increasing pressure on Israel from both America and the EU as the situation in Gaza continues to deteriorate. There was fierce fighting in Gaza on Monday as Israeli forces launched an assault on what they called Hamas militants located in the Al-Shifa hospital compound. The IDF says they killed Hamas fighters, including a senior figure, while one Israeli soldier was killed. It came as US President Joe Biden and Israeli PM Benjamin Netanyahu had their first call in over a month, with Biden emphasizing the need to speed up aid to the civilian population of Gaza. Josep Borrell from the European Union's foreign policy called out the Israeli forces for imposing what he called a famine that has been entirely man-made.
Hundreds of trucks are waiting to enter, and it's absolutely imperative to make crossing points work effectively and open additional crossing point. And it's just a matter of political will.
MPs debated the issue of the war in Gaza on Tuesday as Shadow Home Secretary David Lammy raised an urgent question on the prospect of famine amongst the Palestinian population. By midweek, Qatar said it remained cautiously optimistic about the potential for a ceasefire in Gaza, even as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu signalled his intention to proceed with a full IDF operation in the Rafah region of Gaza. The UN Human Rights Office was warning that the restrictions on aid into Gaza may account to starvation as a weapon of war. Minister of State for Development Andrew Mitchell said the UK government is taking the situation very seriously.
We are deeply concerned about the growing risk of famine, exacerbated by the spread of disease. We are totally committed to getting humanitarian aid to all the people in Gaza who desperately need it, either ourselves or through UN agencies and British or other charities.
And on Thursday, America finally took a concrete step to intervene in the war in Gaza when they circulated a new draft UN Security Council resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire and the release of the hostages. The US has previously blocked similar resolutions, and the draft was issued as Secretary of State Blinken and CIA Director are due in Qatar to try and close the existing deal between Hamas and Israel. Following on from this, on Thursday night, EU leaders agreed for the first time to release a joint statement that called for an immediate humanitarian pause and a sustainable ceasefire. Felipe Lazzarini, Commissioner General of the UNRWA, the UN's Agency for Palestinian Refugees, says that the situation should never have gone so far.
It is definitely a stain in our collective humanity that such a situation is artificially unfolding under our eyes.
It was a good week for Vladimir Putin as he won the weekend's presidential election by a landslide with almost 88% of the vote, a post-Soviet record, according to exit polls. His new six-year term will allow him to overtake dictator Joseph Stalin as the longest-serving Russian leader in more than 200 years. His victory comes despite thousands staging noon against Putin protests as people lined up outside polling stations to vote against him. But with Putin's main opponents dead, jailed or exiled, political activist Bill Browder said he'll remain in charge for a while longer.
He has no intention of stepping down because he has no exit strategy. If he steps down, he loses his freedom, he goes to jail, he loses his money, and he probably dies. And so for Putin, staying in power is something he has to do to stay alive.
Never one to stay away from a victory celebration, Putin was busy on Monday celebrating his 87% win margin in the Russian presidential election. He attended a concert in Red Square, singing the national anthem and waving a Russian flag as he declared his win will make Russia stronger. International reaction, however, was quite different, with near universal condemnation of an election that UK Foreign Secretary David Cameron said starkly underlines the depth of repression in Russia. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg also addressed the election result, including the fact that Russia insisted on holding elections in contested territories.
Russia's organization of elections in occupied parts of Georgia and Ukraine is completely illegal. And Russia's presidential election was clearly neither free nor fair.
Still to come on the Standout 7, Irish PM quits and dentists aren't smiling.
Right after this.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome back.
There was genuine shock in Ireland on Wednesday when PM Leo Varadkar called a press conference and unexpectedly announced that he was stepping down as Taoiseach and leader of Fine Gael. He's been in the party leader role for 7 years and as rotating PM, including throughout the pandemic, but his party had been struggling in the polls and just last week lost 2 referenda as constitutional amendments. Varadkar was seen by some as responsible for an incoherent campaign, but he said on Wednesday that he was quitting for both personal and political reasons.
One part of leadership is knowing when the time has come to pass on the baton to somebody else and then having the courage to do it. That time is now.
The sudden move just 10 weeks before local and European election could trigger a general election, but his coalition partner Micheál Martin, who is leader of the Fianna Fáil party and deputy PM, wasn't keen on going to the polls just yet.
This is a coalition of 3 parties, not personalities. I remain committed to the continuation of government, to the fulfilment of our mandate and to the implementation of the programme for government.
A new survey has found that just 3% of dentists support the government's new NHS Dentistry Recovery Plan. The plan, launched last month, promised £200 million to improve the state of the nation's teeth and included things like bonuses for dentists who would move their practices to underserved areas. The crisis in dentistry due to underinvestment has led to horror stories of people removing their own teeth with pliers because they couldn't get appointments. And Sean Charlwood, the chair of the British Dental Association's General Dental Practice Committee, told MPs on Tuesday that his colleagues have given up hope.
I read the words too little, too late over 100 times in responses. We counted the phrases used most often. Not fit for purpose, dishonest, inadequate, rubbish, and I'm sorry to say, a joke.
Do you know what the world needs right now? Another podcast presented by 2 middle-aged white males. And as luck would have it, a brand new one has just dropped. It features Josh Widdicombe and Darrow O'Brien. On the plus side, it at least is a brand new genre of podcast, the never previously spotted football mystery podcast. It's called 53 Minutes and tells the story of the man who fooled the entire Premier League way back in 1996. Josh explains what went down.
This guy shows up. There's an injury crisis at Southampton. He ends up on the pitch in a Premier League game for 53 minutes.
Right.
And everyone's kind of, in football, has heard this kind of story, but this is the first time it's kind of really, what happened? How did it happen?
You've been listening to The Smart 7. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 a.m. Hit that follow button and have a great day.
Give us 7 minutes, we'll give you the world.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at Ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.